Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Today on Truth Infusion Radio, we are excited to present a sermon by Truth Infusion evangelist Chuck Mansell. We invite you to join Brother Chuck now as he presents a message entitled Functional Faith.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
What I want to talk about today is our faith, the faith that's within us. And I'm not just talking about ordinary faith. I'm not just talking about the faith that says, God, I know you're God and I know you're able to do it. Faith is saying God is God and He can do what He wants. That's faith. I'm talking about faith that's got action behind it. I'm talking about faith with legs. I'm talking about functional faith. I want to talk about faith that moves. I want to talk about faith that just don't sit there talking about, I hear a good sermon, I heard a good testimony, and I know I'm dealing with some things, but I'm just going to assume that God's just going to reach me right where I'm at. I'm talking about faith that's willing to get off that seat and come to the front and say, I got some issues going on, and I need Jesus. I'm talking about functional faith, faith that moves your feet, amen? How many in the house today could say that your desire within your heart is to trust God more today than what you did yesterday and more tomorrow than what you did today? You want to trust God. You want a heart that says, Lord, I trust you. I'm talking about a faith that manifests itself from just faith to trust, to saying, I know who you are. I know what your word says, and I believe it so much that I'm going to move out in it. I'm going to step off the boat. I'm going to do some things. I'm going to prove, not that I've done anything, but I'm going to prove what I mean. Lord, I'm moving towards you. You know, it wasn't long ago that me and my family, how many of y'all go through things? Am I talking to anybody in here? Anybody struggling, going through something? Hey, I say this all the time. I hope my ministry don't get tired of hearing me say things like this. But, hey, if you ain't going through it, you just come out of it. And if you didn't just come out of it, just hold on because you're finna go in it. I promise you, God never said it was going to be easy. But He said, I already did it. Therefore, you got this. You just put your faith and your trust in me, and we're going to go on this ride. When Jesus tells somebody to do something, if He told you to do it, if He gave you a command, if He says get in the boat and go to the other side, He never said a long from here to there, you wouldn't have troubles. Amen? That's a totally different sermon, but I want to talk tonight about functional faith. Me and my beautiful girls, not long ago, we was dealing with a trial and a situation that was a little bit out of our control. How many know that sometimes you're going to encounter some things that you cannot control? Amen? And through experiencing what we were experiencing, it kind of got us to a place that kind of shook us up. So I found myself praying. And guys, I don't know about you, but when I pray according to Scripture and God's Word. I know as a child of God, there's promises of God in the Word of God for me. Amen? And so I like to stand on His Word. And so I'm praying God's word back to Him and saying, Lord, this is what your word says. Your word says, just trust you with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. I love that scripture because it starts off, I'm quoting Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord. I love the way it starts. The doctor. It didn't say, trust your wife. It didn't say, trust your bank account or your employer. It said, trust the Lord with all your heart. Whether the good times or the bad times, you're going to trust Him. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, you're going to trust Him. with all your heart. How many of you have been through some things that you questioned God and you said, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. What's going on here? And lean not on your own understanding. But if we will acknowledge Him in all our ways, doesn't matter what you're going through and what you're dealing with, in all your ways, though He slay me, I'll praise Him in this storm, regardless what's going on. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to seek Him anyways. Trust Him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What I learned was this. I'm praying to the Lord. Lord, give me the ability. Because I got to be honest, I felt like the guy in the Gospels where he said, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Because I got to be real honest with you. I want to trust you. I want to have faith in you. But I got to be, because of what I'm going through, my faith isn't as strong as what I'd like to think that my faith would be at this point in time. How many of you know when you go through some things, sometimes your faith isn't exactly where you would like for your faith to have been? You know, I always tell people it sounds good in rehearsal. You know, I see people going through things and I say, man, if that was me, I'd like to think, man, I could stand strong. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to stand in faith that you got this. It sounds good. But when rubber meets the road, what's it really look like? Are you really standing on the faith? You know, I tell people all the time, I can preach the gospel. I can tell you how to do it and how not to do it according to the word of God. That don't mean I'm going to do it. I'm just saying, sometimes when we go through things, it's a little bit different than me telling you about the faith and what the word of God says than me actually standing on that faith. When tables are turned, and so as I'm praying to God and asking Him to give me the ability, help me, God, help me trust You. Help me do that. He revealed a couple of things to me, but one of the things He revealed to me is in order for us to trust God, He's got to allow us to go through circumstances that causes us to have to what? Trust Him. Does that not make sense? If you're going to trust the Lord, the only way for you to trust the Lord is if He allows you to go through things that make you have to trust Him. Otherwise, you can't trust Him. Amen? So as I'm praying, Lord, give me the ability to trust You, He said, okay, that's what I'm doing. You're in a circumstance that's causing you to have to trust Me. Amen? And through what you're dealing with and what you're going through, God is giving you, through the faith that's being tested and tried and what you're currently going through, God's giving you the ability to be able to trust Him more and more and more. Let me say this. For those of you who have been walking with the Lord for a lot of years, would you say that you're stronger today in your faith than what you was 10 years ago? No doubt. And would you say that the reason you're strong in your faith today is because you've been through some things and God has gotten you through some things? Amen. Does that make sense? And the only reason that I can stand and I'm not shaking in the ways that I used to be shaking is because through what I've went through, I've prayed and I sought the Lord in the things in which I'm dealing with, and God has showed up on that. And so the next time I go through things, I'm a little bit stronger than I was then, and the next time I go through things, so God's building me up. So the Word of God tells us, and you guys don't have to turn there, in 1 Peter 1:6-7, which is a scripture that me and David has talked about and gone over together and preached on the radio and had radio shows on, is this. The Word of God says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all different kinds of trials. He says, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, though refined by fire, may be proved to be genuine. What did He just say? The reason your faith, or you're being tested, is because your faith. Do you know that God loves you enough to put you through trials and tribulations? Does that make sense? Is that kind of a scary thought for anyone else but me? Do you know that God loves you enough to actually put you through a trial to test your faith? Because He knows that through the trials in which you're going through, your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes though refined. Heard the analogy of the gold being refined. Hey, gold is refined by what? Fire. And every time you refine the gold, what happens? The impurities do what? Come to the top. And what do? You scrape them off and you refine it. Eventually, you have a genuine gold block of nothing but pure gold. This scripture is saying the reason you're going through the things and what you're dealing with and going through is because your faith of greater worth than gold. So God is allowing you to go through some things because what he wants to do is he wants to take you to the next level. And every time that we go through some things, every time we struggle, and we go through something, our faith is becoming stronger. Our faith isn't coming stronger and more reliable on my wife and or the doctor, but every time I go through something and I seek the Lord in what I'm going through, and God gets me through what I'm going through, my faith in him becomes stronger. And eventually, I'm going to get to the place of my life where I just totally and completely trust him. The goal and the reasons to why we struggle is to get us to the place that we completely trust the Lord. Does that make sense? Do you know that there's a difference between faith and trust? You know, y'all see me do that? Let me just share a couple things before we go any further. I forgot my handkerchief. One thing that I do not ever forget is my handkerchief when I preach because I need it. Because as you can see, I'm going to sweat. I need that and I need some water. That's just happening. There ain't no two ways around it. I got them. They're always right here. I reached back a while ago when I was up here talking. I thought, you're kidding me. I've literally been blinded up here trying to preach the word with sweat. So if y'all see me wipe my face every now and then, just forgive me. So many scriptures we see, folks, we see faith is indicated by the steps that people took. Does that make sense? People, true faith is indicated by what we do, not by what we say. And that's why I want to talk a little bit about Barnabas and his faith. It's because his faith was indicated by what he did. And we're gonna get to that in a second, but I really want to just camp out a little bit and kind of lead up to that. I want to talk about scriptures concerning faith. I want to talk about a little bit about the difference between faith and trust. I want to talk about what James says when he says, faith is not by what you say, it's by what you do. The Word of God says in the book of James that, show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You know, there's a lot of folks, you hear worldly people say things like this, actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. That's scripture, actually, but just not in that words. That's what James is saying. He says, show me your faith by what you say, and I'm going to show you my faith by what I do. It's the actions of our feet that indicate the faith in which we have. You know, Abraham was considered righteous when he did what? When the Lord said, get up and go. And I'll show you where you're going when you get there. Amen? And it said he went. He was considered righteous when he presented his son upon the altar as a sacrifice before the Lord. His only son, his promised son. It was his actions of what he did. You know, when Abraham did that, he had been walking with the Lord. He had heard from God before. He didn't just stumble upon one day and just start walking with the Lord and the Lord say, do that. He had been walking. He knew what the voice of the Lord sounded like. And his righteousness came when he presented. It was the action that he took, Pastor. Amen. It was what he did. You know, so many times in Scripture, one of the main scriptures in the Word of God concerning our faith is found in Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews what? 11. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. One thing that everybody in Hebrews 11 have in common is their faith by what they did. If you read in Hebrews 11, you will read very plainly of the faith through the actions that the faithful in Hebrews 11 did. Abraham presented Isaac upon the altar. Noah Noah built an ark. Rahab accepted the spies and hid them. So many folks in the Word of God were considered faithful by the actions that they took. Amen? Hebrews 11:1 says what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Guys, go ahead and turn with me real quick to Mark chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 46. Hebrews 11:1 says faith is, not faith was, not faith one day will be, but faith is all you need it to be when you need it to be that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Guys, I want to talk about faith in the life of Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46, reads, "Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more louder, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and he called to him. And so they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling for you.' Throwing off his cloak," some translation says coat, "throwing off his coat, he jumped to his feet and he went to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked. 'Rabbi, I want to see.' And then Jesus responded, 'Let it be done to you according to your faith.'" Guys, there's a lot in this scripture concerning Bartimaeus' faith. I talked a little bit about it a while ago. One of the things that indicates his faith is the fact that he referred to Jesus as Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. What he was doing by saying Son of David is he was confessing that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, according to Old Testament prophecies. So what he was saying right off the bat is, you are who you say you are. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So through faith, he was already saying that I believe that you are the promised Messiah. And that was faith. That was faith. But that wasn't really trust. You know, I like to think, I like to think of trust as a little bit different. Then he says, as he was yelling, and he was for Jesus to heal him, Lord, have mercy on me, the crowd tried to hush him up. And I love when the scripture says, then he even yelled louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Blaine explained it pretty amazing last night. But you know what I love about that scripture is, those that were sitting there trying to tell him to be quiet are the very ones that walked by him day in and day out and never done not one thing for him. Amen? But through what he had heard about Jesus, he knew the only way that he was going to receive his sight is if Jesus, Son of David, had did it for him. And so he got all the more louder. But that's not where the trust really came in yet. You know, there's a scripture, there's a verse in this scripture that I had read a million times and overlooked, and it never really dawned on me. I didn't even take time to even stop. I just read over it. And so not long ago, I was reading it, and it jumped off the page at me. You know, if you're ever reading something in the Word of God and something looks odd that does not look like it really fits there, there's a reason why it's there. And it's good for you to look into the scripture and start studying and figuring out what that is. Look to me real quick to verse 50. I'm going to go to 49. Jesus stopped and called for him. So they called the blind man and said, "Cheer up, on your feet. He is calling for you." Verse 50 say, throwing off his cloak or his coat, he jumped to his feet and he ran to Jesus. And you know, a lot of times when I read something just looks really off, I wonder why it's there. And this particular day I read that and I thought, you know what the Word of God could have just said? It could have just said that Jesus called for him and he went to Jesus and Jesus said, what can I do for you? Jesus, I want to receive my sight. And he could have just said, let it be done to you according to your faith. But this scripture says, started wondering what the cloak represented, because it had to represent something. It's there. Thank you. You got tired of watching me wipe my face, huh? And so I started studying the scripture about what this coat represented. And guys, what the Lord showed me was really, really amazing. This coat actually represents something. It's not just in Scripture, just to be in Scripture. What this cloak represented, it was a representation to everyone. It was a special coat. And Bartimaeus wore this coat, so when others passed by him because he could not see, what it did is it told everybody around him that he was a blind beggar and he needed assistance. So this coat to Bartimaeus was a big deal. When he had this cloak on, sometimes because he was blind, he couldn't see people walking by him. He may be able to hear them, but he couldn't see them. And so this cloak was letting everybody know that, hey, this guy's blind and he needs your help. You know what I love about this scripture? Is when they said, cheer up. Cheer up. He's calling for you. It said Bartimaeus, before he ever got to Jesus, Bartimaeus went ahead and took off the coat. He went ahead and took it off. He said, I ain't going to need that no more. He said, when I get to where I'm going, I know that I ain't even going to need it no more. So he took off the cloak before he ever got there. He knew when he got in the presence of Christ that he wasn't going to be blind no more. So that was a thing in the past. You guys can have that. I ain't going to need it no more. And God had showed me several things in this. But one of the things that he revealed to me was there's often times that I pray to him and I go to him with my cloak on. You hear me? And when I get up, I still got my cloak on. I'm leaving with my cloak. I go to him. I wasn't expecting no more from him. When I went is when I left. Before you ever get to him, before you ever go to him, you got to know that when you get there, things ain't going to be the same when you leave. Amen. That he's about to do some things. How often do you pray with your problems? And when you say in Jesus' name, amen, you get up with the same problems you went to the Lord with to begin with, amen. When you go to Christ, you got to go to him expecting some things to happen. Take off your cloak. Take it off. You don't need it no more, amen. That's where the trust comes in. See, he said, I don't just have faith that you're going to take care of this. I trust you. I trust you so much, I don't need that. See, I have faith in you, but I also trust you. See, the substance of Bartimaeus' faith was Jesus Christ. The evidence that the substance of Bartimaeus' faith was Jesus Christ was the fact that he took off that cloak. See, he went, and he knew, if he would just call me, if I could just get to him, I'm going to be made whole. I don't need them things any longer. But I got another one I want to share with you guys. Before I close, we all know the scripture of the bleeding woman with the issue of blood. Amen. Anybody in here ever heard of that scripture? The woman with the bleeding issue of blood for 12 years. And in the Gospel of Mark, I love it. It's the best. Hey, I don't know. Mark's pretty tough. I advise everybody. Mark's a book of action. You hear me? And in this scripture, he gives such detailed description of what she was going through. And one of the things that he says is that she had spent all her fortune and all her money on doctors and all these people to help her, and no one could help her. No one could help her. And she had done spent everything. Here it goes again. But she had heard about this man named Jesus. And in spite of what the world and the Mosaic law tried to tell her she could not do, because she was unclean, she cannot be out in public. She said, regardless, I'm going. Because you folks ain't done nothing to help me. I've done given you all my money, and you can't help me. But I heard that this man named Jesus could help me. It said, so she went. And I love the way Mark says it, because Mark gives you a detail. He wants you to really get it. So he says, as Jesus went, the crowd was around him so large that they were pressed up against him. And I can only imagine, I don't think of Jesus as a celebrity by no means, but you know how those celebrities are. Folks are just trying to get to him. There ain't nowhere for them to walk, and their bodyguards, or y'all get out the way. That's what Mark wants you to see. He just wants you to know that there's so many folks around Jesus because Jesus is Jesus, and he's healing folks. But they're there just because they're wanting to get something from Jesus. But this lady, through her brokenness, had heard about this man named Jesus. And she didn't say, if I could just get to Jesus, and if he could just talk to me for a little bit, I'll be made whole. She didn't say, if I could just get to Jesus, and he could pray over me, I'd be made whole. She didn't say, if I could get to, she said, if I could just, I ain't even got to touch him. Just let me touch the cloth. Just let me touch a piece of his garment. Faith. She said, I just need to get there, amen. And so scripture says she fought through the crowd, knowing she ain't supposed to be out there. I mean, she's risking her life. Would you say she's desperate? Would you say she had some needs? There's somebody in here with some needs that all they want to do is just, if I could just get to the church house and just, if the Lord would just, if I could just touch, could you imagine what this world would be like if we were just, if we just wanted, if we were so desperate we could just touch the hem of his garment?
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.